Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our destination. Or you might hear some people say that's your destiny, your destination. So if you follow the shepherd, that's where you're going to end up. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And that is how Psalm 23 ends. But to get to the end, Pastor Wayne will show us that you may first have to walk through the dark valleys. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Perhaps you are in one of those valleys right now. Take courage, my friend. Today, a message entitled David and the Shepherd. Here is Pastor Wayne.
Well, last week we were talking about memorizing scripture a little bit, because each time you memorize a verse, it becomes portable, which means you can take it wherever you go. If it's in the Bible and you know kind of where it is, it's fine. But when you memorize, it becomes portable. And the more you have with you, the better it is for you to be prepared for whatever comes your way. Well, for today and for this week's scripture for you to memorize, are you ready? It's in front of you, the 23rd Psalm. It's a whole chapter. But the good thing is it's only five verses, so it's not hard. And we're going to go over it today, verse by verse, and going to find out some background. Now, David writes this classic scripture that's known throughout the world. But today we're going to unpack it a little bit because it is so relevant. And once you get to understand the background, it's like the lights turn on. David, if there's anybody that knows about sheep, it's David. God promoted him to be the greatest king Israel would ever see. In fact, yet today, and I've gone to Israel 18 times, and as I go to Israel, I'll pass by David's tomb. Do you know that people still today, thousands of years ago is when he was the king, but did you know that people still today put flowers on his tomb because he was the greatest king Israel had ever experienced, ever had? Well, he writes the 23rd Psalm from a shepherd's point of view. Now, to become a great king, the greatest king Israel had ever had, to get prepared for that, God could have sent him to Yale, could have sent him to Harvard. No, not that one. Could have sent him to Princeton. But instead, God trained him on the backside of the desert with a slingshot and cruddy creatures called sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I really like being compared to sheep. God says we're all like sheep. I thought, God, at least you could have upgraded us to like a German shepherd or something. But sheep, if you know anything about sheep, they're cruddy little creatures. They're inept, they're nervous, filled with anxiety, and they have no natural defenses. They're prey animals. Anything can eat them. And so they're not the most exciting. And not only that, they'll follow anybody. Yeah, you can. They'll be boinging over here eating, and they'll see George over there, and they go, "Where'd George go? Oh, he's over there. He's going over a cliff. No way. Yeah, let's do it too. Boing, boing, boing." It's like, I don't know that much about sheep, but I do know one thing. Sheep need a shepherd. If that's all you know about sheep, you got it. And so today we're going to talk about David and the shepherd. So in your notes, you have the whole 23rd Psalm there, and we're going to read it together. But I'd like to start at the last verse, because that's the destination. That's where you're going to end up if you follow the shepherd. So let's take a look at the last verse of that chapter, and then we'll start from the beginning. So let's read the last one. Surely goodness. Ready? Go. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our destination. Or you might hear some people say that's your destiny. Your destination. So if you follow the shepherd, that's where you're going to end up. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, let's rewind the tape and let's unpack it. I'm going to put this chapter into four pieces, and that's what we're going to take a look at, because each of these has a stunning lesson for you and for me. We're going to find out. So let's start from the beginning, then we'll read the whole thing together, and then we'll go back. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And the last verse, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's take a look at this first part. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In the Hebrew, it doesn't mean that I don't need anything more. It just simply says this, because the Lord is my shepherd, he will provide everything I need. David is not saying, I have so many possessions, I don't need anything more. Don't get me any presents for Christmas because I got everything. No, he's not saying that. Because if you know anything about a shepherd, he's got a ton of needs. There's predators in the hills, cougars, mountain lions. He's got to find a place for the sheep to bed down at night. There might be forage missing, no grass to eat. He's got to go search for that. He's got a lot of needs. So why in the world would he say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Why? Because he knows that God is the provider, and wherever he is and whatever need he has, God will at that time provide it. I don't have it all now. See, when God comes to provide for you, he doesn't back up some big dump truck and dump everything you need. No, as you walk with him, even though there may be unknown needs coming up, when you get to that place, he will provide. Sometimes we want this back there. That's where immorality comes in. You see, we don't want to get married. We just want to act like we're married. And the Lord is saying, no, when you get there, I'll help you. And I'll provide that person for you. And your future would be wonderful. God designed us. And he knows how we go together best because he's our creator. And if we will stay close to him, he has a favored future for you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 says, plans not for your calamity, but for your future, so that you'll have a future and a hope. Trust in me. So David wasn't saying, this is a statement of my opulence and my many possessions. No, David was saying, this is a declaration of my trust. I don't have it yet, but I know my God is going to be a provider because he's the shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I got everything I need. Do I have it now? No, but it'll be given to me. And for what God does is he allows us to grow in character, in depth, in humility, in maturity, in insight, in wisdom. And then he provides something, and now I can steward it. If I didn't have that character and he provided it back here, I'd bumble it. Kind of like giving your 9-year-old kid your car keys. It's like, oh, got to wait till you're at least 15, 16. And then they're still not ready. But you understand. It's dangerous because then they'll take that and they'll hurt themselves with it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Some people say, well, I just want to get my future now. And I tell our students, I say, hey, listen, don't rush into your future. Prepare well for it. And your future will come to you. Prepare well for it. God knows. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Then he says something very interesting. Says he makes me, doesn't just allow me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are interesting creatures. They will eat and eat and eat and never think they have enough. They'll eat and eat and eat until they're so full, it actually starts to put pressure on them. Sheep, believe it or not, have four stomachs. Sometimes I wish I had a couple extra so I could eat a little more, but sheep have four stomachs, and the largest part is called the rumen. Now, the rumen is like a storage room. They eat and they don't chew very much. They just store as much grass as they can in the largest portion of their stomach called the rumen. Then they can lie down and they erp part of it back up and they chew it again to masticate it or to grind it up a little bit more. When it's in the rumen, there's certain microorganisms and bacteria that's added with that saliva, and it actually starts to break down the grass, but not very much until they erp it up again, regurgitate it, they chew it up, swallow it. Then it's digested into the second portion, third portion. That's that digestive process of sheep. Now, the shepherd knows that if they're in green pastures, which, by the way, contains a lot of sugar, that they could colic, they could have a problem with their gastrointestinal system. So actually, when the shepherd sees that it's green pasture, not dry, but green, he actually makes them lay down in the pasture, because he knows that the digestive process will not take place unless they're resting. If they continue to eat, it's not going to happen. And if they gorge themselves, the gases will start to build up in there, and they can't get it out. So he makes them to lie down in green pastures so that they'll start to ruminate. Did you catch that? Largest part is called their rumen, and to ruminate means to reflect. So he actually makes them lie down. Now, another thing about sheep is that they don't have really super good eyesight. And because they've got a lot of wool before it's sheared, if they get into water that's rapid or turbulent, it can soak up that water and they can drown because of the weight. So they're afraid of turbulent waters when they hear rushing streams. So here's what the shepherd does. He actually takes rocks and dams up a portion of it so it stills or quiets the water, and the sheep will go to drink, because the shepherd knows that without water, the digestion process cannot take place. It needs that fluid. And so he dams it up and they go in. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Our shepherd is so good. But we're like sheep. A lot of times we don't know when enough is enough. We just want more. Howard Hughes, the great billionaire of yesteryear, was once asked in an interview, "Howard Hughes, you have so much money. How much is enough?" His answer, "Just a little bit more." And we're like that. I watch human beings at like these buffets, all-you-can-eat buffets. We got one down here called Mongolian Grill or something. And they go in there and they get celery sticks for like retaining walls so they can pile this thing up. And they're like balancing it to the chef, you know, cook this tower of food. And I thought, we're just like sheep. I think that's why God says we, like sheep, have gone astray. He compares us to sheep. That's what Sabbath Sundays are for, that he makes us lie down in green pastures. Sure, we could all be out there working, try to make another buck, but he says, stop. Reflect on what I taught you in 2023, the good, the bad, and the ugly stuff, and be wiser and better. Digest it, think it through, ruminate on it, and you'll be better in the next year. But you'll have to stop. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created the first day and said it was good. Second day, it was good. Did you know he went through the seventh day? And the seventh day, he what? Do you remember? He rested, or called it a Sabbath. Does he need to rest? No. But he leaves us an example, because we are the ones that need rest, to ruminate, to think. Because if you look at it this way, people don't learn from their experience. People learn from reflecting on their experience. That's where the meaning is given, the definition is given. And it's either good or bad. You become bitter or better. It's by reflecting. And if you don't, you're apt to repeat the mistake again and again and again. You don't learn from an experience. You learn from reflecting on the experience. And so God established a Sabbath Sunday for us. You say, well, why isn't it Saturday, the seventh day of the week? Well, because in the early church, if you'll look in the New Testament, it said, and they gathered together for the breaking of bread on the first day of the week. Oh, why? On Sunday. Simply to celebrate and commemorate the resurrection of Christ, that he's no longer in the grave. We're not waiting for the Messiah. He is here. He was resurrected. He's alive. So they began meeting on the first day of the week. Colossians says, let no man act as your judge in regards to a full moon or a new moon or a festival or a Sabbath day. For all of these things are just simply a shadow of what is to come. In other words, God is saying, you choose, but one out of seven, reflect, ruminate of the things that I have taught you. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now let's take a look at the next section of a verse here, and let's read it out loud together. Ready? Go. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you. He restores my soul. There's a word called cast. C-A-S-T, like put on an arm. Cast in the shepherd's vocabulary and nomenclature is when, like a turtle, when a sheep is cast, it's upside down. It's fallen into a little hole or a little dent in the ground, and they can't right themselves up. They're like turtles. Because we, with our arms and legs, we can pivot enough on our joints to be able to right ourselves up, whereas sheep have these little spindly little boing things that stick out from their body, and they can't move it around like we can to get back up. They're cast. Sometimes sheep stray from the fold, and they don't stray because they're evil. They stray because they're frail and hungry. And sheep have a tendency to focus just on what they're eating. And when they focus just on what they're eating, they start to stray one tuft of grass at a time. And they keep eating, looking for something else to eat, looking for something else to eat. And it's not long before they pop up and look, and their buddies are nowhere to be found. So they're eating, and all of a sudden, bah, where did they all go? Now, they didn't go anywhere. You did. Then to find their way home, they start looking, thinking that they can follow a stream. And in the deserts, there's a thing called a wadi, W-A-D-I. A wadi is a dried up stream bed. Depending on how large the body of water was that came through that area, a wadi could be like cliffs on the side, but it's a sunken area that's dried out. So the sheep will go down there, and sometimes going down into it, they stumble and they get cast. When they're cast, they'll struggle, but they can't right themselves up. They need someone to help them. It's interesting. David uses that same word in Psalm 42 when he says, why art thou so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so troubled? Hope again in God, for he will restore you. And we will again praise him. When a sheep is cast, it's down, and if it doesn't upright itself soon, what happens is the building up of gases in the rumen start to expand. And if they're not uprighted soon, that sheep can actually asphyxiate or suffocate because it starts pressing on their lungs, and the gases build up to the point where they die. The other thing that happens is all of the blood drains from their extremities and their legs go numb. So what the shepherd does as he's scanning the flock and scanning the sky, he sees vultures. When he sees vultures, he starts counting his sheep. 99, I have 100. 99. I know where the 100th is. And he makes sure that the sheep are okay, and the shepherd takes off, because not only is a shepherd looking for vultures, so are predators. Predators don't attack sheep when they're with the flock because the shepherd's there. They attack sheep that have strayed. And the shepherd starts going after that, looking for that one sheep, keeping an eye on the flock, going after that one. When he gets to that one that is cast, he quickly turns it upright so it can expel the gases. And then he starts massaging its extremities to restore circulation. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word righteousness in the Greek in the New Testament is an interesting word. It's orthopedeo. That's the Greek word for righteousness. It's from two words, ortho, which means straight, and pedeo, which is where we get the word pedestrian from. It's someone who is able to walk straight. So when you go to an orthopedic surgeon, he works on your what? Your legs. And so righteousness is the same word to walk straight. He massages that sheep's legs. And if it can't walk, because you and I know what it means to have an extremity go numb, like you sleep on it all night, right? You get up in the morning and your arm flops. You go, where'd my arm go? It was here last night. You can't move it. Well, because that sheep is the same way, he's got to restore circulation. Now, this is really cool. Then he takes the sheep to get it to walk, like after surgery. I mean, I had heart surgery, and I'm not even a day in the hospital, and they have me walk around the hospital. I said, I'm dying. No, you got to walk. You can't leave this hospital till you walk the whole floor. So I got an electric bike. So he takes the sheep, and this is what he does. He puts the sheep between his legs and walks with it so that when the sheep stumbles, it stumbles onto the shepherd's leg, and he's able to be there to right it up again. And he keeps going until bah, it boings off into the flock. But until then, he keeps them between his legs so it'll learn to walk straight. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. Some of those wadis, it's like a deep valley. And not only is a shepherd watching the sheep, so are predators. That sheep that was cast is under the shadow of the predators. And so David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because I could have died, I will fear no evil because you're there with me. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of the restoring grace of God. When we violate God or go away from the shepherd, intentionally or not, if we're away from him through ignorance or immaturity, you're still separated from God. And the word sin is not a religious belittling kind of word. Did you know that the word sin is actually an archer's term? When you shoot archery and you miss the target by one concentric circle, the nomenclature is you're one sin off, two sin. That was the old way of saying how far off you were. They would look through a glass and they go, you're one sin right, two sin right. And so it's kind of like with snipers, one click, two clicks. Same kind of thing. And so when the Bible adopted that nomenclature, it's just you're off one sin, Wayne. You're off two. You're off three. And the wages of that, if you're missing God's bullseye, you're going to be separated. Because the word death has two meanings. It's a cessation of life, which means it stops, but it also means the separation from life. The wages of sin is a separation from God's best in your life. And so the shepherd comes and deals with that. Now listen carefully. When you mess up, when I mess up, when we sin and miss the mark, don't let the devil deal with your sin. You let Jesus deal with your sin.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled David and the Shepherd by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.
Do you ever feel anxious or worried? If you do, can I encourage you? Your life is like a canoe. It's being paddled in a particular direction. It may be towards your calling, or it may be away from your calling, but you are in the steersman's seat. Your destination will be determined by what you choose to steer that canoe with. Are you steering your canoe with the paddle of anxiety? Maybe you're steering holding on to worry. In moments when you feel anxiety, remember that there are many others in your boat who are there to support you. Realize that your self-worth is more important than what's inducing anxiety in the first place. Your life is greater than your present moment, and your purpose is too important to quit right now. Paddle toward your purpose, and when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.